Good morning. This is Brian Trumbor with your Week in Review for Saturday, July 25th. Last week I pleaded, "So for crying out loud, Mr. President, would you slow down? It's not even a matter of being ideologically pure and thinking you'll soak the rich to pay for all your social programs. It's plain recklessness." I then added that some of us were placing our fates in the hands of the U.S. Senate, where it's hoped cooler heads will prevail, enough to rein in our leader and his worst intentions, and wouldn't you know, that's exactly what happened, thanks also to the concerns of the fiscally conservative blue dog Democrats in the House. But there are Democrats in the House who are bound and determined to circumvent the normal committee process and bring health care legislation to the House floor for a vote this coming week, though the Senate is once again a different matter. Something about it being the more deliberative body, you understand. At the end of the day, however, one thing was certain. President Obama's chief policy goal, reforming health care, had hit a major roadblock, and with it, his entire agenda. Thomas DeFrank of the New York Daily News opined, "For Barack Obama, the honeymoon endures. Nirvana is over." 6 months into his historic presidency, Obama retains the benefit of the doubt with most Americans. They like his personal style and assign him Reagan-esque leadership ratings. "People still trust the president to do his job," an Obama aide said. "For the first time, however, doubts are growing that Obama's trillion-dollar stimulus is too glacial and may not be robust enough to cure the sick economy. Some jittery Democrats, moreover, whisper that his legislative agenda, particularly an energy bill and the health care reform package, may be too ambitious for the end-of-the-year deadline Obama has imposed. I'm nervous," a Democratic operative close to the Obama White House admitted. "He's set the bar so high that if we don't get energy and health care, the press will eat him alive." Another prominent Democratic consultant echoes the yips from even some true believers. It could be great. It could be a disaster. As DeFrank notes, though, while it's too soon for such apocalyptic musings, Obama's polls have slumped as the euphoria of his inauguration gives way to the realities of governing and economic woes. Yet, a clear majority still endorses his performance, and a recent CNN poll found 70% agree he's a strong, decisive leader. That was Thomas DeFrank. Charles Krauthammer, Washington Post. "What happened to Obamacare? Rhetoric met reality." As both candidate and president, the master rhetorician could conjure a world in which he bestows upon you health care nirvana, more coverage, less cost. But you can't fake it in legislation. Once you commit your fantasies to words and numbers, the Congressional Budget Office comes along and declares that the emperor has no clothes. President Obama premised the need for reform on the claim that medical costs are destroying the economy. True. But now we learn, surprise, that universal coverage increases cost. The Congressional Democrats' health care plan, says the CBO, increased cost on the order of $1 trillion plus. Charles Krauthammer continues, "The Democratic health plans are collapsing under their own weight, at the hands of Democrats. It's Max Baucus, Democratic chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, who called Obama unhelpful for ruling out taxing employer-provided health insurance as a way to pay for expanded coverage. It's the blue dog Democrats in the House who wince at skyrocketing health reform costs just weeks after having swallowed hemlock for Obama on a ruinous cap-and-trade carbon tax. The president is thus, or therefore, understandably eager to make this a contest between progressive Democrats and reactionary Republicans. He seized on Republican Senator Jim DeMint's comment that stopping Obama on health care would break his presidency to protest, with perfect disingenuousness, that this isn't about me, this isn't about politics. Well, it's all about him. Health care is his signature reform, and he knows that if he produces nothing, he forfeits the mystique that both propelled him to the presidency and has sustained him through a difficult first 6 months, which is why Obama's red lines are constantly shifting. Universal coverage? Maybe not. No middle-class tax hit? Well, perhaps, but only if they don't primarily bear the burden. Because it's about him, Obama is quite prepared to sign anything as long as it is titled health care reform. Charles Krauthammer continues, this is not about politics. Then why is it, to take but the most egregious example, that in this grand health care debate, we hear not a word about one of the worst sources of waste in American medicine, the insane cost and arbitrary rewards of our malpractice system. When a neurosurgeon pays $200,000 a year for malpractice insurance before he even turns on the light in his office or hires his first nurse, who do you think pays? Patients and higher doctor fees to cover the insurance. Tort reform would yield tens of billions in savings, yet you cannot find it in the Democratic bills. And Obama breathed not a word about it in the full hour of his health care news conference. Why? No mystery, the Democrats are parasitically dependent on huge donations from trial lawyers. Didn't Obama promise a new politics that puts people over special interest? Sure. And now he promises expanded, portable, secure, higher quality medical care at lower cost. The only thing he hasn't promised is to extirpate evil from the human heart. That legislation will be introduced next week. That was Charles Krauthammer of the Washington Post. Well, but with all the preceding, Wall Street celebrated anew, crossing 9,000 in the Dow Jones, in no small part because the president was not going to have his way on his wish list, at least without major input from the opposition, both from within and outside his party, and there's nothing the street likes better than gridlock. Though that said, there were other fundamental reasons for the major averages finishing up 4% on the week, thus extending the two-week surge to 11% plus, the best such showing since 2000. Such as a real lack of bad news. Save for a few notable exceptions, like Microsoft, earnings continued to come in better than expected, and even though the revenue is rough and light, there is simply the growing feeling that not only have we hit bottom, but that an actual recovery, modest as it may be, is in the offing, and thus the top line, sales, is due to improve in short order. One thing seems clear for the second quarter's reports thus far, corporate America has been cutting costs to the bone, so any added revenue can only flow through largely to the bottom line. Ergo, if you happen to fall in this camp, you're pretty positive on future returns. Me? I'm sticking, of course, to my overall prediction for 2009, up 20 to 30% by year end, but refusing to comment on 2010 as yet. Frankly, getting through this year on the right side of the ledger is enough to worry about, and I keep looking at H1N1 and its potential to be a game changer. Certainly the word out of the World Health Organization this week, as well as our CDC, wasn't too encouraging. But for now, rejoice. Rallies are good. The news on the global front has also been better, particularly in Asia, where South Korea's second quarter GDP rose a solid 2.3%. That's a heck of an achievement. While regarding China, President Hu Jintao said the mainland would maintain its relatively loose monetary stance, though adding, we still face a lot of challenges and the foundations of economic recovery are not solid. Thus, the direction of macroeconomic policy should not be altered. That was Hu Jintao. Separately, Hu stressed the need to maintain social stability, though at the same time urged officials to handle protest carefully. Of course, this last point is different meetings in different countries, eh? As for Europe, it continues to limp along, but the data is less bad, such as in a manufacturing index for the Eurozone that came in at 46.8 for June, better than expected, not far from the 50 dividing line between growth and contraction. June retail sales in the UK advanced a solid 1.2%. And not for nothing, but back in the States, did you see the June figure for the median price of an existing home nationwide? It rose for a second consecutive month, climbing 4% in June over May to $181,800. Didn't your editor predict last year that housing would bottom in the April-May timeframe? Heck, in California, the median price was up 7% in June over May. Actually, it's too soon to declare victory on this one, and I'm also sticking with the opinion we just scrape along the bottom for a while. I do have to add that I've also been consistently saying that as bad as the commercial real estate picture is, and it's dreadful, this does not, in and of itself, move markets like housing does. You and I don't stand around outside talking to our neighbors about plunging strip mall or home or office building values. We do, however, talk constantly about the value of our own home, and that's why housing has been so critical, along with the labor market. Where the commercial real estate problems come into play is in you and I trying to get loans from our banks. The bigger the commercial exposure, the less likely they'll be extending credit to the rest of us. NASDAQ's winning streak ended at 12 sessions, the longest since 1992, but as noted earlier, it was another solid week for all the broader averages. And so much for the adage, sell in May, go away. The S&P 500 closed at 872 on April 30th and now sits at 979, up 12%. It helps that over 75% of those reporting earnings thus far are beating on the bottom line. Just a note about California, lawmakers finally struck a deal on the $26 billion deficit, and at least the days of handing out IOUs could be ending, while the state sees improvement in its credit rating. In the coming days, though, cities and counties will learn exactly how much previously allocated revenue from the states they will be losing, thus exacerbating the crisis at the local level until the economy turns around. That's it for this week. I'll be back with you next Saturday, which is August 1st. Have a great one. Catch all the details, stocksnews.com. Click on Week in Review. Thank you.